sharing your prayer request, and thank you for sharing just a little bit about why you're looking forward to going to heaven. Heaven's a real place, and I'm looking forward to going there. I'd like to say that while you take your Bible and turn to Revelation chapter 19, I am looking forward to going to heaven because I want to see Jesus. I don't know what all that's going to be. I don't know. I know I get to see him. The Bible says so. I don't know. I don't know that I could fully comprehend that. I've thought about it from time to time, but I just don't know that I could grasp what that's going to be. I just know it's going to be good. You know, I don't know all that's involved in that. I know this because the Bible teaches it. I try to stay with what the Bible teaches on what I know instead of what I think. Some people say they know things that they think. There's a difference. I think a lot of things, but I know a lot of things too. And I try to base what I know on this book right here. I know that in order to go to heaven, I'm going to have another body because I cannot stand in the presence of him in whom I'm going to see in the present body which I'm in. 1 Corinthians 15 says, "This corruptible shall put on incorruption, and this mortal shall put on immortality." So when this corruptible shall have put on incorruption, and this mortal shall have put on immortality, then shall be brought to pass the saying that is written, "Death is swallowed up in victory." O death, where is thy sting? O grave, where is thy victory? The sting of death is sin, and the strength of sin is the law. But thanks be to God, which giveth us the victory through our Lord Jesus Christ. What a triumphant entry it's going to be. And I just know I'm going to have another body to get there. I just know it's because of Jesus. I just know. I just know it's because of the holiness of the Lord and the heavenly atmosphere. And in order to really withstand and to understand, Brother Philip kind of touched on a little bit, to have that understanding, just going to have another body to enjoy another sphere. And so I'm glad that God has prepared even that. God has prepared. All right, Revelation 19. Some of you have been sitting for a while. I'm going to ask you to stand. And I'm only going to read just a few verses of Scripture. Revelation 19. I'm going to talk to you. I'm going to try to answer some questions tonight. Let me get this turned on. Now, I'm not going to finish this. And so I'm going to do an overview, and then I'll go back and give you, I'm going to answer some questions on the marriage and the marriage supper of the Lamb. What do you know about the marriage of the Lamb and the marriage supper of the Lamb? Now, there's two separate events, and I want to show you what I'm talking about. Revelation 19, are you there? Look, if you would, in verse number 7. "Let us be glad and rejoice and give honor unto him, for the marriage of the Lamb is come." Now, that's one event. And then it says, "And his wife hath made herself ready. And to her was granted that she should be arrayed in fine linen, clean and white, for the fine linen is the righteousness of saints. And he saith unto me, Write, blessed are they which are called unto," and here's our second event I want to talk about, "the marriage supper of the Lamb." So we have the marriage of the Lamb, and we have the marriage supper of the Lamb. Now, this is not uncommon. But every wedding, every marriage ceremony that I've been to, about everyone, not everyone, but about everyone, has the marriage ceremony. And then they have what they call a marriage dinner or supper or feast. And so we're going to talk about these two things. All right? I'm going to continue reading here. I'm sorry, I should have muted that. Okay, so verse 9 says, "And he saith unto me, Write, blessed are they which are called unto the marriage supper of the Lamb. And he saith unto me, These are the true sayings of God. And I fell at his feet to worship him. And
He said unto me, See thou do it not. I am thy fellow servant, and of thy brethren that have the testimony of Jesus, worship God. For the testimony of Jesus is the spirit of prophecy. Let's pray. Father, thank you for the word of God. Teach us from your word tonight. Help me to teach the things that you have taught me from these passages of Scripture. Bring to my mind the things that I've studied and place upon the hearts of your people the truths of your word, I ask in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. You can be seated. So what do you know about the marriage supper of the Lamb or the marriage of the Lamb? What do you know about that? Think about it for a moment. If someone were to come up to you and say, you know, I was reading the Bible and I read about the marriage of the Lamb. Can you tell me about it? What would you tell them? What would you tell them? And then along those same lines, if they say, well, now, you know, there's the marriage of the Lamb. And then I was reading, you know, shortly after that, I was reading about the marriage supper of the Lamb. What do you know about that? It's a big deal. It's a big deal because of this. Not because I said so, but let's look at what the Scripture says. Look, if you will, in verse number 7. Let us be glad and rejoice about this marriage. He said, you need to be glad and rejoice that this event right here is going to take place. It's going to be something. And he said, let us be glad and rejoice. And then he said in verse number 9, concerning the marriage supper, he said, write, blessed are they which are called unto this event. In other words, if you're given an invitation, if someone's given an invitation, those that receive invitations to this event, they're blessed. Now, 7 times in the book of the Revelation, some people call them the Beatitudes of the Revelation. You can comb through the book of the Revelation, you'll see where there's a blessing attached to a promise or an event. There's 7 of them. You can look them up, and they'll be a blessing to you. But this is the that receive, he said, in verse number 9. I think it's interesting that this fellow servant, he calls himself in verse number 10. He said, I am thy fellow servant in verse number 10. You see that? I think it's very interesting that this fellow servant said this to John in verse number 9. He saith unto me, write. It's almost like John got so captivated. You know, you have to understand, go back to chapter 19, verse number 1, and notice what it says. After these things, I heard a great voice of much people in heaven saying, hallelujah, hallelujah, hallelujah. I mean, they're just shouting. We talked about that a little bit last week, these 4 hallelujahs, which means praise the Lord. That's what hallelujah means. Praise the Lord. Praise the Lord. And he said in verse number 6, look at verse number 6. He said, I heard as it were the voice of a great multitude and the voice as the voice of many waters and the voice of mighty thundering saying, hallelujah, for the Lord God omnipotent reigneth. And so John's, you know, he's looking around and he's seeing all this stuff and it's almost like he forgot to write, you know. And in verse number 9, the fellow servant says in verse number 9, write, you know, write it down. It's almost like John was just captivated, right? I mean, I really believe that. John was just like, wow, this is overwhelming. This is awesome, right? Yeah. And he said, hey, write. You know, I want this to be in the book. That those that get an invitation to this event that I'm describing, they're blessed. What's going on here? What do you know about this? Will you be there? Who will be there? When will this be? What's taking place? Why does God want us to know this? There's a reason. And so I'd like to just answer. I've put it in question form because I think it'll help us think a little bit. So I want to answer some questions. All right, number 1. Where and when shall this take place? I think we should know that. Well, it's going to take place in heaven. Because in verse number 1, John said, after these things, I heard a great voice of much people, where? In heaven. And so, you know, the marriage and the marriage supper, these events are going to take place in heaven. When? Well, now that could be a little more difficult. They're going to take place in heaven. Now, in order to say when, and I want you to listen very carefully, because I'm not going to preach that, I don't think. I'm going to be instructive. I want to teach you some things. I want you to know, listen, if you're saved, you're going to be here. I want to give you something to look forward to. All right? No one, when we were talking about getting to heaven, and I didn't, it was not a trick, okay? No one mentioned, well, I can't wait to get to heaven because I want to be a part of the marriage of the Lamb. Or I want to be a part of the marriage supper of the Lamb. It may be, and I'm not in any way indicting you, I don't know. It may be we don't know enough about it. Sometimes when we don't have interest in something, it could be a lack of knowledge in that that we don't have interest in. Sometimes. Sometimes you can have a lot of knowledge, and that's why you're not interested. Amen, right? Yeah. And so it could be. Now, maybe not. I don't know. What do you know about the marriage of the Lamb and the marriage supper of the Lamb? Well, we know it's going to take place in heaven. Verse 1 says that, right? Verse 1 says it. Now, we stay there until verse 11. Look at verse 11. And I saw heaven open. And now we're getting ready to exit there. So John said, this scene is taking place in heaven. There's shouting, praising God. There's a ceremony, a wedding ceremony that took place, John said. The marriage of the Lamb took place. And he said, then there was this supper, this marriage supper. And I was told to write down that all of those that received the invitation to be guests at this supper are blessed. And then he said in verse number 11, heaven was open. And when you read, you'll find that the saints, which are, as we'll see in just a moment, the bride of this marriage, are going to ride out with the bridegroom to leave heaven because there's some unfinished business on earth. All right? And that will be the remainder of chapter 19 from verses 11, I think it's through 21, ends chapter 19. I think there's 21 verses in verse number 19. All right? So, where in heaven? When? Well, now, in heaven, there is no time. And so, we've got to kind of get in time in order to determine something that's outside of time, because in heaven, there is no time, so we can only measure it by some things that are going on in earth. Does everybody understand what I'm saying? We're going to measure it by that. So, the rapture of the church is taking place. Now, don't you miss this, okay? Because there's a statement that is made. Let me find it here. If you'll notice in verse number 7, the last part says, the wife, his wife, hath made herself ready. And then in verse number 8, it talks about her apparel, her wedding apparel, which is always a big deal at a wedding, right? I mean, the woman's wedding apparel, her wedding garment, is usually a big attraction. It's a big deal at the wedding ceremony. And so that is discussed in verse number 8. And it says, and to her, verse 8, was granted that she should be arrayed in fine linen. It was granted. In other words, the Lamb approved it. The Lamb approved it. It was granted unto her. Actually, there was some help in the choosing of this, and we're going to see what this is maybe tonight if our time allows. But I want to take my time to go through this because I think this is going to really help us to say, I'm really looking forward to this right here. I'm really looking forward to this. So what's taking place here? Well, there's a marriage. And then there's a kind of like a reception. It's what people call it here on earth. You know, you have your marriage ceremony, and then after that you have your reception dinner where you receive friends and guests. And that's where I think verse number 9 comes in. You know, you kind of greet the guest and you get to meet those. Other than that, they're kind of witnesses. And I remind people, every time I do a wedding, I try to remind people that come, you're more than a guest, you're a witness. You're witnessing this union. You're witnessing these vows. You are witnesses that these two people are committing their lives, their hearts, their selves together. And so that's what's happening here. Where? Heaven. When? Well, according to the scripture, it's going to be at the close of the great tribulation period here on earth. And that's the only way we can measure it in heaven is by what takes place on earth, because heaven really knows no time. And so we have to measure by what takes place here on earth. Chapter 18, the great whore, chapter 17 and 18, the great whore is judged, the political Babylon, the religious Babylon. And now in chapter 19, we get into, okay, that event kind of brings to the end that seven-year period that took place called the tribulation of the great tribulation. You follow? That seven-year event. And brethren, this is going to happen. John said, these things must be hereafter. God says it's going to happen. It's going to happen. Now, here's something I want you to think about. God is going to judge this earth. And the tribulation and the great tribulation period is a part of God's judgment upon those who have rejected Jesus Christ, in particular, the nation Israel. Because the tribulation is a time of Jacob's trouble. It's a time where God judges his chosen people nationally for rejecting the Messiah when he was sent to this earth. And for rejecting God himself. And so the earth and the nations in Israel are going to be judged. Now, in heaven, there's going to be some judgment going on too. Because we as Christians are going to be judged. So wait a minute now, we're going to be judged? Absolutely we're going to be judged. It's called the judgment seat of Christ. And I want to just share some things with you about the judgment seat. Okay? Because we're talking about when is this going to take place? When is this marriage going to take place? Some people have tried to say, well, you know what? When we get raptured up, we're going to meet the Lord there, and we're going to have a big wedding ceremony in the sky. The Bible nowhere teaches that. Well, I heard a song one time. I'm not interested in what some songwriter said. I'm interested in what this book says. Amen. The Bible nowhere teaches that. Okay? And so you say, well, I believe that. Well, that's okay. I'm not going to split hairs with you. I'm just going to tell you you're wrong. And so the Bible does not teach that. So what does the Bible teach? The Bible teaches when we get to heaven, we're going to be judged. We're going to be judged. Notice again this statement. Look, if you would, in verse number 8. And to her was granted that she should be arrayed in fine linen, clean and white. Watch this now. For the fine linen is the righteousness of saints. You get saved by getting the imputed righteousness of Christ. But in order to serve, you show your righteous acts through the power of the Holy Spirit. You get to choose if you're going to use that power to serve God or not. And so we're going to stand before the judgment seat of Christ, and we're going to see how our garment's going to pan out. Every one of us are. You see, you're going to, we think about, and we've been reading for weeks now. For weeks we've been reading about the judgment of God upon this earth. And brethren, it's coming. As a matter of fact, Revelation 6:17 says, for the great day of his wrath is come, and who shall be able to stand? I mean, it's going to be something. But now we're going to stand before judgment too. Not to see if we get to go to heaven. We're going to heaven because we've accepted God judged our sin in Jesus on the cross. But we're not going to be judged for salvation. We're going to be judged for service. And I want to show you just a couple of scriptures so that it'll just kind of get you thinking a little bit. Turn, if you would, to 2 Corinthians chapter number 5. When is the marriage going to take place? It's going to take place after the judgment seat of Christ. 2 Corinthians, are you there? Chapter number 5. Paul is writing to Christians. Because he's writing to the church of God, which was at Corinth. And so he's writing to believers. And he's saying to the believers in 2 Corinthians chapter 5, look if you would at verse number 10. For we must, all, two very important words. We must, all, every believer is going to stand before God's bema seat one day. Every one of us. For we must all appear before the judgment seat of Christ. Now, why, Paul? Why? That everyone may receive. Watch this now. There's going to be some things dealt out this day. That everyone may receive the things done in his body according to that he hath done. So, you serve God, you're going to be rewarded, maybe. We'll see in just a moment. If you haven't, you're going to lose rewards. But you're going to stand before God and you're going to be asked something similar to this. What have you done with what I've given you? What have you done? Because God, when he saves us, gives us gifts and responsibilities. And we are accountable to God how we use our God-given gifts and abilities and responsibilities. Not to the preacher now. No. We're accountable to God. And so he said, whether they be good, look at it, or bad. You mean I can serve God badly? You sure can. I'm telling you what the Bible says. The Bible says you can serve God in a bad way. Now, how does that happen, preacher? Well, take your Bible and go back to chapter number 3 of 1 Corinthians. Did you read those verses? Did you read that verse with me? I hope that you did. I hope you're following along now. I'm talking to you about when the marriage is going to take place. When is the marriage? When is the great consummation? When is Christ going to marry the bride? After the judgment seat. And the judgment seat takes place when every one of us have stood before the Lord to give an account of ourselves individually. The Bible teaches this, Romans 14:10, that every one of us individually are going to stand before God and give an account of ourselves before the Lord. For the deeds done in our body, whether they be good or bad. Now look at 1 Corinthians chapter 3. Are you there? 1 Corinthians 3. Look at verse number 11. 1 Corinthians chapter 3, verse number 11. For other foundation can no man lay than that is laid, which is Jesus Christ. Now, if any man build upon this foundation, in other words, there's no other way that you're going to be able to have a foundation except through Jesus. You won't have a, listen, you won't have a foot to stand on when it comes to standing before God if you're not trusting in Jesus as your personal Savior. There is no other way. And he said, now that you're saved, you have to build on that. Not to get to heaven. Watch what the Bible says now, okay? Look at verse number 11. No other foundation can be laid other than which is Christ Jesus. Verse 12. Now, if any man build upon this foundation, gold, silver, precious stones, wood, hay, stubble, every man's work shall be made manifest. In other words, God's going to reveal every work you did in the name of Jesus. Every work that I did. As a matter of fact, Jesus said, every idle word that comes out of our mouth is going to be judged. It's a serious thing how we live. Oh, I know people take it frivolously and just cavalier, like, you know, well, it really doesn't matter. We're all just sinners anyway. Well, it does matter. And God wants you to live right. And God said, you're going to stand before me one day and give an account of what I've given you. Listen, God has given me a lot, and to much is given, much is required. I'm going to go on record and say, I believe God has given you a lot. And to much is given, much is required. Let's finish up. Very interesting. Did you notice the two groups now? Gold, look at verse 12. Gold, silver, precious stones. You know what these things do under the fire? Just burns off the impurities. They remain, but the impurities are burned off. They become pure. The fire of God is put to the work, and it shows the purity of that work. It was done with a pure motive, with a pure intent. But then there's wood, hay, and stubble. That's when he said in 2 Corinthians 5:10, whether it be good or bad. See, some people's wood, hay, and stubble, you know why? Because the only reason they do what they do is so somebody can see them and pat them on the back. I want my name to be called out from the platform. I want somebody to pat me on the back for my good song or my good sermon or my good deed. I want somebody to see me reach in my pocket and hand somebody a $20 bill. I want to make sure that everybody sees it. You're not doing that for God. You're doing that for you. And God said, I'm not going to reward you for something you do for you. You have your reward already. Didn't Jesus teach that in Matthew 6? He did. And so it's very important that we not only serve God, but that we serve Him with the proper motive. Watch this, if you would. Watch what He says here. Verse 13, every man's work shall be made manifest. Isn't that interesting? God is going to make manifest everything we've done. Now follow this. For the day shall declare it, because it shall be revealed by fire. The fire of God's going to be put to it. And if it's one of those precious stones, gold, silver, it's just going to burn off the impurities and it's going to be that much more pure. But if it was wood, hay, and stubble, it's going to be gone. Nothing left. And then he said this. This is just powerful. To try every man's work. This is the last part of verse 13. Of what sort it is. Isn't that interesting? In other words, is it of the sort you did it for God's glory? Or is it of the sort you did it for your glory? Did you do that so people would think more of you? Or did you do that so people would think more of your Savior? That's where the rubber hits the road, brethren. And I think all of us have to really say, God, help me to have pure motives. I want to do the right thing, but I want to do the right thing for the right purpose and for the right person. He went on to say in verse number 14, if any man's work abide, which he hath built, in other words, if the fire just purifies it, well, then he shall receive a reward. Verse 15 says, if any man's work shall be burned up, if it's wood, hay, or stubble, and his motives were not pure, well, he shall suffer loss. But now, he said, don't think you're not going to get to stay in heaven. You are. He said, but he himself shall be saved. Look at this. Yet so as by fire. Kenneth Wiest, and I don't know if you know who that is. He's just a man who was a Greek expert. He said this means by the skin of your teeth. All right? You're going to heaven because you're saved. But that's it. You have nothing. Right? You make it in. And some people say, well, you know what? I'm just glad I'm going to make it in. You don't understand heaven. Oh, it's better than hell. Amen. But you don't understand God. You don't understand what God has in store. Brother John mentioned it. Eye hath not seen nor ear heard, neither have entered into the heart the things that God hath prepared for them that what? Are going to heaven? Mm-mm. That love Him. You know? So I think we get confused. And so I just want you to know now. Look, if you would look over in chapter number 4 of 1 Thessalonians. I'm sorry, 1 Corinthians. Are you in chapter 4? Look at verse number 5. Therefore, judge nothing before the time. In other words, don't look at somebody and say, I know why she's doing that. She's doing that because she's a big show-off. He said, Paul said, now you hold on. You don't know why a person is doing what they're doing. You don't know what's in someone's heart. This is where we mess up, Christians. Listen to me now. This is where we can get in some really thin ice. I know why he said that. Well, now you might not. And so if you don't know, you just don't need to say. And Paul said right here, well, I'm still talking about the judgment seat of Christ. He said here in verse number 5 of chapter 4, therefore judge nothing before the time until the Lord come. Why? He said, because he will, who both will bring it to light, the hidden things of darkness, and will make manifest the counsels of the hearts, and then shall every man have praise of God. Did you get what he just said? God's going to reveal and make known the counsels of the heart. That's serious. Why you did what you did, why you said what you said. You be careful what you say. We just can't run around saying we know what a person's done or said or why they did it. You can't do that. You can. But I tell you what God's doing. He's keeping the record in heaven. And we're going to give an account of it one day. So when is this marriage going to take place? When God gets us fit in our wedding garment. After we stand before Him and He gets us ready to stand before Him and exchange the vows. You see what's happened here? There is so much in the epistles about the judgment seat of Christ. We rarely hear about this. We just think we're going to kind of do what we want and live as we will. Jesus is coming. We're going to go to heaven. Everybody's going to kind of do a dance on streets of gold. Brethren, I'm telling you, that's song stuff. That's not what the Bible teaches. The Bible teaches that we are going to be held accountable for the life we live. And that we're going to be held accountable for the deeds we do and the words we say. And so it does make a difference. It does. Not only in heaven, but it makes a difference here. Because you say, well, I don't care. When I get to heaven, as long as I make it. Can I tell you that God will make it very difficult for you if you're one of his children and you decide you're going to just live for yourself. You don't want to mess with God. Now, I'm not going to get to another point here tonight. I'm going to finish up. But I just feel like that we're getting off base. There's so many Christians that just say, you know what, well, I believe this. It doesn't matter what you believe. You need to find out what this book says. I'm about up to here with people saying, well, I believe this. You think that matters to me? I'm not being smart aleck here. I'm just rather tired of people telling me their opinions. You know, if I stood up here and all I'd done was preach my opinions, I hope you'd leave the church or boot me out. Amen. You don't need to hear a bunch of opinions. You need to hear what thus saith the Lord. So if the preacher's not going to give you his opinions, you don't give them to him. I'm not mad at you. I'm just saying if we're not careful, we just become a bunch of people of opinions and preferences. There's enough doctrine in this book. We don't have to resort to that. Now, we got folks won't be faithful, loyal to the local church, won't tithe, won't give to missions, won't pass out a tract, won't soul win, won't read their Bible, won't study, and all that. And when you ask them, oh, yeah, I'm going to heaven, can't wait to get there. You sure? Are you sure? I tell you right now, when God saved me, he put something in my heart that put me on the kingdom program, brethren. I'm on a kingdom program. I'm not tied up in what's going on in this world. Some folks are just so engaged in what's going on in the world. I don't think they're in the kingdom program. There's been times I hadn't been where I need to be with the Lord. I'm not perfect. I've made plenty of mistakes. But all through that, God kept me on the kingdom program. Are you listening to me? The kingdom program. I was always concerned about the kingdom. We got folks not the least bit concerned about kingdom. And I don't mean just here at Fellowship. I don't know the hearts of people. I'm talking about Christians in general. And if that's where you've defaulted to where it just doesn't matter to you, and you're just going to do what you want to do, and you're going to not take into account what God said, I'm just going to live my life and do it my way and do what I think's best, you better do what God said. You don't want to mess with God. All right? Now, these are the folks that I end up going to bandaging and trying to heal up because they've said, I'm going to do it my way. And then when God disciplines them and chastens them, they call me and say, I don't know what's going on. I'm in a terrible place. I'm in a terrible mess. I know what's going on. I seen you when you got off. I seen you when you turned me down. I seen you when you turned me off. I seen you when you tried to act disinterested, thinking that's going to get the preacher to shut up. I'm not shutting up. I'm going to preach. You're not shutting me up with your disinterest. There's some people here that want to hear the truth, and I'm going to preach it. I'm not mad at you. I'm not. I'm just saying that, brethren, we need to understand some things. God's word is God's word, and we need to know what this book says. It's very important what God says. So I already know all that, preacher. Yeah, I know. I know. I get told that all the time. I'm just waiting on you to do it. We got some folks who are going to be, listen, they're going to pay a double price because they knew it and wouldn't do it. It'd be best not to know it than know it and not do it. Isn't that right now? So what about this marriage? Well, God said, you're going to stand before me one day and give an account of everything you do. Now, there's some folks who can go ahead and say, I'm going to leave here and I'm going to do what I want to do anyway. I'm not going to pay attention to God's word. I'm going to live my life the way I want to live. The first thing I'd do is find out if I was really saved, number one, because you need to get on a kingdom program. And number two, you need to find out, when did you start doing what you want to do instead of what God said do? And you need to somehow get back to doing what God said to do and not what you want to do. And then God can bless your life. But now God's not going to bless you when you're on His agenda, your agenda instead of His agenda. Is that right, brethren? It's right. All right. So the judgment seat, the judgment seat. I'm going to give one final warning. 2 John, would you turn there? 2 John. So he said there's this marriage that's going to take place. You say, well, where is this marriage? It's in heaven. When is it? It's after we stand before God and give an account of the way we've lived our life here on this earth. And seemingly, it's just very concerning to me as a Christian, first of all, but as a pastor, it's very concerning to me that so many Christians just have almost like this don't care attitude. We need to care. We need to care. There was a day when, and I'm not, I'm just stating the facts, when our church houses was filled on Wednesday nights. I thank God that people at Fellowship Baptist Church still get it, but this place should be filled tonight. Yeah. And so should every other Bible-believing church. But people just so busy, they just on their agenda. They're not on the kingdom program. They just do what they want to do, how they want to do it. And thinking God's going to bless me anyway. You don't understand God nor the scriptures. Didn't Jesus tell the Pharisees that? You do err from the truth, not knowing the scriptures. Here in John, 2 John, are you there? The second epistle of John. In verse number 8, John says, when it comes to the judgment seat, and this is where we'll close tonight. We've answered two questions. Where's the marriage going to take place? In heaven. We're espoused right now. Write this verse down. 2 Corinthians 11, verse 2. We are espoused to Christ. That's what Paul said. As a chaste virgin. And one day, we're going to be married to Him. If you're saved. But before that, we've got to get some wrinkles ironed out. Read Ephesians chapter 5, verse 26 and 27. We've got to get some wrinkles ironed out. And that's going to take place at the judgment seat of Christ. Now, I say a lot that I want to finish strong and I want to finish well, and I believe many of you do. The older I get, the more I want to finish well, I want to finish strong. I don't know how much longer I've got. And the truth is, even if you're here tonight and you're young, you don't know how much longer you have. We don't know. But please listen to this warning. This is a warning. It's a warning about people who just say, you know what, I know it all, I've seen it all, I'm just going to coast and do what I want and live on my own agenda. And John said, wait a minute, buddy. This is the same guy that God used to write the book of the Revelation. John. 2 John verse 8. Look at it. Look to yourselves. Now don't look at other people. This is what a lot of Christians are doing today. Don't look at a lot of others and weigh out how you're going to do based on how they're going to do. Well, I'm just as good as old brother so-and-so, or my family's just as spiritual as that family. That's not what we're to do. We're not to compare ourselves with others. Paul warned about that in 2 Corinthians chapter 10. He said, look to yourselves that we lose not those things which we have wrought or worked for. Don't lose your reward now, but that we receive a full reward. You see what John is saying? One day we're going to stand before God. And maybe you've started well. I want you to look right up here as we close this. You can close your Bible and look right up here. Some of you are tonight and you've started well. Others of you have run well. Paul talked about that. You did run well. You've run well. But now I'm going to tell you something to be very, very cautious of. And that is slipping into a state of just not caring or just having an apathetic. Like, you know, it doesn't really matter. Now, you stay sharp now. Stay in the Word. Stay sharp. Be willing to accept correction when someone says, hey, I notice you're slipping in an area. Don't get so offended when someone comes to you in love. Now, we ought to speak the truth in love and says, hey, you're slipping a little bit. Right? You need to pick it up some. And so take that right. Don't always get offended by that. Usually a person that would do that, usually, most time, it's somebody who loves you and cares about you. And so look to yourselves now. Don't think more highly of yourself, and God help me not to. Think, well, you know, I'm a preacher, so I'm going to just coast on in. No, I've got a big target on my back just like you. The devil's after me just like he's after you. And he wants to defeat us all and discourage us all and cause us all to want to quit. And so I want to stay sharp, and I want to stay in the race, and I want to stay active. I want to stay obedient. I want to stay submissive to God's will. All right? And God wants you to do that too. So look to yourselves. All right? Look to yourselves. Don't lose your reward. Don't lose your reward. You say, well, I've served God for many years. Good. Finish strong so you can keep your reward. Let's stand to our feet. Say, well, I thought that marriage supper was going to be great. Well, it is. We ain't got there yet. Amen. I just wanted you to know that some things have got to get ironed out before we get to the wedding altar.